You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Frank, the Penguins announced that a shipment of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads has been stolen ahead of tonight's game.
I'm Frank Isola. You want one? I got about 18,000 of them and a truck parked right around the street.
You know, I don't know that I need a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead. I don't know that that's
true.
You know,
true story. My friend has his bed. He was moving out of his apartment in New Jersey and he gave my friend his bed. Big, beautiful bed. How about that? Forget the bobblehead, I'll take the bed.
That's pretty good. Pretty good story. Welcome to PTI. Tony couldn't be bothered to be here. So, to handle his workload today is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
No cheering.
Wow. Oh, okay. So it's going to be like that, huh? Let's start with March Madness. Traditional power Kansas lost to Cincinnati by 20 last night in the Big 12 tournament. And while the Jayhawks were without their two leading scorers, we're used to seeing them own their conference. Jay Wright tells USA Today that he thinks the era of blue bloods is ending because really good players can transfer anywhere to programs where they can play right away. Frank, are you with him?
By the way, Kansas, their last two games, they lost by 50. Not the right way to go into Selection Sunday.
Yeah, crushed.
So if you, all right, so who are we talking about? Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. We'll throw UConn in since they won the national championship. They're the defending
champs. They've won enough.
So of those schools, they're all in the top 25, and they've won 13 of the last 23 national championships. And then if you want to throw in Jay Wright and Villanova, that's
Villanova,
two more championships.
Throw them in, too.
So I'm not buying it because guess what? The best players are still going to those schools. I get it. You might have a disgruntled player that transfers out, but these programs also get players – that transfer in. People still want to be part of that legacy, part of the program. I'm not buying it at all. And UConn right now is the favorite to win the national championship. So I disagree with Jay Wright on this one.
Frank, but I think there's context to this. And I've talked to Jay about this before. I agree with him. Because while you have those schools each can still pop up and threaten to win a national championship or win, you know, we've seen that, you know, with UConn and Villanova. We've seen that. In terms of all of them dominating the conversation and landscape and recruiting, no, they're not. They're not going to do that. And they have very down years now, which wasn't the case before. So I'm not saying all those programs are going to go away. I'm not saying the Blue Bloods are going to be extinct. And I don't think Jay Wright is suggesting that either. I know he's not. But, Frank, players now, kids now, they want to transfer out of their homeroom. If it didn't go well 2 days in a row in math class, they want to go to the portal. And they want to get to that. So the culture now just says bail. Bail on whatever it is because you can get a better deal across the street. The grass is always greener. That's where we are in these times and recruits. And so I think that Jay's on to something here. And by the way, this particular tournament is going to tell us that. Frank, it's why the product is so not enticing. Women's basketball is so much more exciting and so much more attractive and appealing because people stay for 4 years. I know they got transfer portal too, but they don't bail every single day like the men do because they all think they're going to the league, even though they're not.
Yeah.
And everybody can play a little bit. They all can play. That wasn't the case 30 years ago.
But I get it. You know, we get Butler going to the back-to-back national championship games. They lost both of them. You know, we've seen VCU, George Mason in the Final Four over the last 20 years. You know, just last season, you had San Diego State make it, Florida Atlantic, Miami, but it was still UConn winning. Here's my only thing, Mike. The top recruits still want to be associated with the big program. So Cooper Flagg, who's the number one recruit in the country, he had it down to UConn and Duke. And what happens? All the big-name, you know, alums from Duke that are all in the NBA are calling the kid up. He goes there. So those schools are still going to get the players. I know it's hard to win with a lot of one-and-dones, but all these coaches would still rather take the talent, get the team together in August, and make a run for it in March and then into April.
I'll give you that. I'll grant you that.
All right, let's move to baseball. where the White Sox sent ace Dylan Cease to the Padres for a couple of prospects. Cease joins a San Diego staff that already includes Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove. After last season's flameout, Padres GM A.J. Preller said see ya to a bunch of stars. That includes Blake Snell and Juan Soto. But Preller says the Padres have a chance to win. Is he right that his squad can contend, Mike?
I mean, they may be able to contend. We'll see. But it's not because they got Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease is a nice pitcher. He's a guy. He's a nice pitcher. 2 years ago, I think he was in, runner-up for Cy Young. But then last year, he was like 7-9 with a 4.58 ERA. And that come on now. Let's not confuse him with Sandy Koufax. So let's not get crazy, which, of course, every deal now requires people to get nuts and make stupid proclamations. Dylan Cease could even have a bounce back year. I mean, let's say he's a 12-7 guy as a starter for that staff. That doesn't vault them past necessarily the Dodgers or even Arizona in their own division or who might pop up. So let's not get crazy. The White Sox had plenty of underachieving, and Cease was part of that too.
All right, to your point, the numbers, 14-8, 2.20 ERA the year that he finished second in the Cy Young. Last year he has a down year. But remember, you go to San Diego, they got a better lineup. They field, they catch, they throw the ball better than the White Sox do. Yeah. And here's the thing about the Padres to keep in mind. Last season, 9-23 in one-run games. They were 2-12 in extra inning games. That's just being a bit unlucky, and I think they made the right move here. You get rid of Blake Snell, you need pitching. And when you're contending with the Diamondbacks, think about what they did last season, and then the Dodgers are always the Dodgers. It's not just about having a big lineup. You know, they shed over $100 million off that payroll. I mean, think about the money that they spent, Mike, and you have an expanded postseason, and they didn't even make the playoffs last year. So, you know, they do it up in the Bronx all the time. They think we're going to out-hit everybody all year long. It's not about that all the time. You need pitching, and I think it's worth taking a chance on Dylan Cease.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not worth taking the chance, Frank. I'm just saying let's not get carried away and make them a favorite to make the playoffs because I got Dylan Cease. Expanded playoffs, they couldn't make it last year with an $800 million payroll.
Yeah, but I do think he'll help. All right, let's stick with baseball, and the state of starting pitching just isn't what it used to be. While Justin Verlander needs 43 wins to reach the magic number of 300, Clayton Kershaw may be the last pitcher to reach even 200. As the warmonger points out on Twitter, the active leader in wins for players under 30 is Jose Berríos with just 83. Gerrit Cole does have 145, but he's 33 years old, and right now he's injured. Mike, is it reasonable to wonder if the days of 200-game winners are gone?
Yes. Yes, starting pitching is extinct. I mean, it's gone. It's done the way I knew it, the way some of us of a certain age grew up with it. And one of the things I like, Theo Epstein, we had as a guest last year more than once, and he talked about starting pitching. In addition to all the things that Theo helped install to get pace of game, one of the things he also wanted to see, and he gave voice to this, was starting pitching. Like, let it matter.
Yeah.
Bullpen days in the postseason, that's garbage. And so, yeah, I grew up with my hero being Ferguson Jenkins. You now, forget 300, forget 200. You can't even get five complete games out of a guy in a season when starting pitchers used to give you maybe 30 plus the top pitchers. So I hate it, Frank. I hate that baseball's done this.
I mean, think about this, Mike. The last 300-game winner was Randy Johnson, and he did that back in 2009. Essentially, a whole generation of pitchers have come and gone, and nobody's gotten to 300. Now we're just worried about 200. And think about this. Madison Bumgarner, who is an all-time legendary postseason pitcher, only has 134. Aaron Nola is less than 100. Jacob deGrom, who was a dominant pitcher for a few years, is in the 80s in terms of wins. But you're 100% right. You know, the pitchers don't even pitch enough innings anymore. But I also think, you know, a lot of this falls on, you know, the front office, the pitching coaches. They talk so much now. It's not even about the pitch count. It's about spin rate. They have these guys throwing the ball so hard that's why they're keeping them out and only pitching them 3, 4, 5 innings. It's going to be hard to do. 200 will be that number. But you talk about being of a certain age. I'm a lot closer to you than you think. It was 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, and then 300 wins. We're probably not going to see – it'll probably happen, but it's not going to be very often we see a guy even get to 200. It's a little hard to believe.
Get to 200. Unbelievable. The people that you named, they're not even close. To me, I don't know. It's part of baseball's problem. Most people will tell you they don't have one. I'm not agreeing with that. And now to the NFL's ongoing search for a solution to the onside kickoff. Safety measures in recent years have all but eliminated successful onside kicks. This has led to proposals to replace the onside kick attempt with a 4th-and-15 play from one's own 20. But those proposals have all stalled, and now in an effort to win more votes, the Eagles are proposing a 4th-and-20 play that a team can use up to twice per game, only when trailing. Frank, could you see this wrinkle getting votes, getting support?
We know that they basically got rid of the onside kick, as you mentioned, because of it's essentially a safety issue. So it's basically gone at this point. In fact, only 3% of them were successful last season. But you know what was successful? 14% of plays 4th-and-15 and longer worked. So guess what? And I'll give you an example. And I know you're not going to like this because it's the NFL and it's a gimmick and the whole thing. But come on, Mike.
It is.
Go to the NFC Championship game just a couple of months ago. When Detroit got the ball back, I mean, they had to kick off an onside kick. There was no chance it was going to be recovered. Wouldn't it have been a little bit more exciting if they had a chance on a 4th-and-20 to give themselves a chance to win the game? That's more exciting than an onside kick. That, Mike, is never going to work. I actually like what the Eagles are proposing here.
Frank, I understand the need to try to come to something to inject more excitement late in the games. If you're down, you want people still watching. You want teams to figure they have a chance. But, yep. Frank, are you a shootout guy? Do you like PKs is what they're called internationally?
No.
In America, they've been called shootout. You hate that, right?
Yep. Yeah.
This is what that is, Frank. It's the NFL's gimmick. It's the NFL's form of that. Let's inject some excitement we don't have because we got rid of something else. I'm not going to sit here and say you shouldn't try to have a safer game and eliminate concussions, and that's why the onside kick is good. I get it. But don't give
me
this
garbage. What's your solution? What would you do?
I don't know. I don't know, but this is artificial, random garbage. And come, let's call it what it is. Come on now. Go back to the drawing board.
It would have made the NFC Championship game even better.
Than me. Eh? We're taking a break. Coming up, Daniel Gafford is creeping up on one of Wilt's records. What's the word for that?
And how best to describe Domantas Sabonis' success against Anthony Davis.
That was a TKO right there. I was watching that last night.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
It's time to school. Fill in Frank and fill in the blank. What's first?
Daniel Gafford's streak of 33 straight field goals without a miss is blank.
Well, Frank, first of all, it's impressive. I mean, to go that long with a streak with not missing, even if you're just taking 3-foot shots. And that's what he's doing. He's taking 3-foot shots. He's dunking the ball. He's getting lob passes. He's getting set up. And Gafford, the Bulls never should have let Gafford go. Gafford has some, there's an upside there. Now, the word, however, is wiltish. And any form of that you can have. You can have wilt-like, wiltonomous, anything with wilt. Because Wilt has the record. Gafford's within 3 of it. Now, Wilt did go 11 for 11 and 18 for 18 in successive games. And 11 for 11 came against Zelmo Beatty, among others. So, look, there's Wilt, there's Gretzky, there's Ruth. That's the list in terms of records in the various sports. Everybody else can take a step back. And if you want to add Jim Brown, but it wasn't numbers to Jim Brown in pro football, but Wiltish is the word.
You sound like Sonny Hill talking about Wilt Chamberlain. I'm going to go with assisted living. Last night he was 5 for 5. Kyrie and Luka Doncic assisted on all those baskets. By the way, 17 of the 33, Mike, are dunks. Not everyone has to shoot a three-pointer. So give Daniel Gafford credit for understanding his role and his strength. He went 7 for 7, 5 for 5, 7 for 7, 9 for 9, and now he just went 5 for 5. One other thing about Wilt Chamberlain. The year that he made the 35 straight, in January, he had 32 straight. So, I mean,
it's
ridiculous what
Wilt,
this guy did.
Gretzky, Ruth, everybody else bow your head. That's the deal. I don't want to hear about your analytics and your measure. I don't want to hear any of that. Those three guys, they're the guys. They are record book in America, North America. What's next?
It's blank that Domantas Sabonis is now 10-0 against Anthony Davis.
Man, Frank, did you watch
Hard
any of that
believe.
Last night?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I mean, the Lakers are in a position, you know, and so is Sacramento. They're not going to play each other in a first round. They can face somebody in advance. They could play each other. But Sabonis just has it. It's kryptonite. I mean, Anthony Davis, who can be – look, Anthony has been great all year. He really has been.
Yeah.
He's been durable. He's been out there. He's been playing. He and LeBron have been tag-teaming and keeping them afloat, even though they're in the play-in right now. But it's still kryptonite. Sabonis, who leads the league in triple-doubles, I think he also leads in double-doubles, he's just got it going when he gets Anthony Davis. He goes right at him. And he has a way of attacking Anthony Davis, which seems to confound Anthony Davis in a way that nobody else can replicate. So give Sabonis some credit, but he's got the kryptonite for AD.
Yeah, maybe Sabonis should have been an all-star. I'm going to go with on brand. Think about this, Mike. 0-10 against Sabonis, 1-7 against Embiid, and he's lost his last 7 games against Nikola Jokic. Now, to be fair to Anthony Davis, LeBron is on his team. He does have some other teammates that have to take some of that responsibility. But how is that possible? That he's gone that many, you know, he's
two
got
of those
one
guys
win
are MVPs, keep in mind.
In 24 games against these guys. And here's the thing about Anthony Davis. He's played 63 games this year, Mike. That's the most he's played since his last 2 years in New Orleans when he played 75. He had the game on Sunday where he went for 27 and 25 against Minnesota. So he's put up really big numbers.
He
put
up
great
numbers.
It's a little hard to believe that he's getting dominated like that by Sabonis, Embiid, and, of course, Jokic.
Yeah, I don't think the Lakers really, really would want to see Sacramento in a playoff series, even though they'd tell you something else. That's the final word. Let's take one last break, but still to come. An insane buzzer beater for Stephen F. Austin.
And potentially bad news for Lionel Messi and fans of DC United as well.
Uh-oh. I think I know what's coming.
I know you're in one of those luxury suites tomorrow or this weekend. Not going to be good.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 27th birthday, Simone Biles, the most decorated gymnast in history, including 4 golds at the Olympics, 6 all-around world championships, and 8 United States all-around crowns. Biles famously battled the twisties at the Tokyo Games, then took a 2-year break to work on her mental health. She's now competing again and is in championship form apparently ahead of this summer's Paris Games. Small note for those of us from Chicago, her husband, NFL safety Jonathan Owens, just left the Cheeseheads for the Bears. With Biles tweeting, quote, "I'm so excited about not having a connecting flight to go and see my husband," close quote.
I knew you were going to get the Bears in there. This is going to be a big summer for Simone Biles. You know, Mike, the last time she competed at the Olympics, 2016 in Rio, 4 gold medals and a bronze medal as well. We'll see how she does in Paris.
Big summer coming indeed. Maybe a big fall and winter too, Frank. Yeah. Happy anniversary to St. Joseph's. On this day 43 years ago, John Smith's layup at the buzzer beat top-ranked DePaul in DePaul's first game of the NCAA tournament. This was a huge upset. DePaul was led by future NBA stars Mark McGuire and Terry Cummings and had been the favorite to win the whole thing. Last night, DePaul almost pulled off a huge upset of its own in the Big East tournament. The Blue Demons, who went 0-20 in the Big East this season, led Villanova by 2 with 10 seconds left before it all fell apart. Reports today have DePaul hiring former Ohio State head coach Chris Holtman.
Right, so think about this. On that same day, St. Joe's beats DePaul. Orlando Blackman and Kansas State, they knock off number 2 Oregon State on the last second shot. And then remember the famous U.S. Reed 40-foot heave for Arkansas to beat Louisville. Yep. U.S. Reed didn't get the Sports Illustrated cover. Orlando Blackman ended up on the cover.
It's a day that really helped make March Madness.
That's right.
The madness in March. It's one of the historic landmark days in DePaul losing. That depressed us more than the Bulls losing back then because they were bigger than the Bulls in Chicago. Happy trails to Abilene Christian with their WAC tournament game against Stephen F. Austin tied at 57 late. The Wildcats had a chance to win, but Arian Simmons got his shot blocked by Jaleel Bobrun. Krishan Christmas, I love that name, then received the outlet pass and shot it up to A.J. Kajus to basically redirected the thing into the hoop for a game-winning 3 at the buzzer. It's the third time this season Abilene Christian fell victim to a buzzer beat.
Kajus is on fire. So last week we did the story about Anthony Edwards finishing a game with a block. This is a block that leads to an incredible shot at the buzzer. But remember, Stephen F. Austin, it was 5 years ago, they went down to Cameron Indoor Stadium and won a game against Duke on a last-second shot. So they have a habit of doing stuff like this.
Well, these are the kind of games that, again, put the madness in the march. We need more of them. One omission.
You're right.
The Commanders are sending Sam Howell, a 4th-round pick and a 6th-round pick, to the Seahawks for a 3rd and a 5th. You know what that means, Frank.
Ooh. Is that a Justin Fields? Maybe?
Well, they got to pick a quarterback. They got the second pick.
Yeah, they're picking a quarterback.
We're running out of show.
That's right.
Let's go to the big finish. Lionel Messi is likely to miss Saturday's game against D.C. United in D.C. with a right leg injury. Your thoughts?
It stinks for the people in D.C. because Messi last night had a goal and an assist as Miami beat Nashville in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I went through the same thing in New York over the summer. He did play the last 30 minutes. Didn't start the game, however. The Lions extended head coach Dan Campbell and GM Brad Holmes through 2027. Does that make sense?
Detroit to a Super Bowl, its first one ever. Lots of sense. Mandatory. Joe Flacco will reportedly join the Colts on a 1-year deal. Is that a good fit?
No, I think it is. He's going to back up Anthony Richardson. So Flacco had a terrible playoff game against Houston, but he really had a good season.
That's right. The Lions. The Lions
got
still
looking
for a Super Bowl. Went to the NFC
exactly.
title game, not the Super Bowl.
All right. The Cavs snapped the Pelicans' 4-game winning streak. Are you surprised?
Kind of. They were sort of mini roll, but Donovan Mitchell back. Maybe I shouldn't be too surprised. Last one, Suns, Celtics tonight. Who you got?
Yeah. Celtics beat them last week. First game after a long road trip. Porzingis is out. You don't know about Jaylen Brown? Boston will still win. I know Phoenix needs the game. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We are bumped by college basketball tomorrow, but back on Monday with Bracket Madness knuckleheads. How did I put the Lions in the Super Bowl? Still one step away. Still haven't played in one. Your sports.
Yeah, on site.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.